echo the words of the psalmist, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It is good to gather together this morning to worship God. As we gather together, great welcome to everyone who's here in person, joining us live on Zoom or at some point later during the week. If you are here in person, we invite you to grab those pew pads, fill those out, check out the information in those, pass them along. Today is the first Sunday of June. On the first Sunday of the month is when we do share together this meal of Holy Communion. We will be sharing that today. It's open to all who believe in Jesus Christ. Also, today being the first Sunday of June, we welcome back our new musician, worship and music leader, part-time Chris Bartelt. Glad to have you back here, Chris. She's got some fresh new ideas. I'll let you share a little bit about that one if you'd like to give some instructions.
Not so much instruction as permission. This morning we have available ancient instruments that were used in worship long before piano and organ came about. So we have rhythm sticks, we have bells, we have cowbells. Well, cowbell maybe wouldn't have been available, but tambourines. And we're going to have people up here also encouraging you to play for different parts of the song. So if you haven't found an instrument yet, feel free to grab one from the back. We will enjoy, you know, worship should be a time of praise and happiness. We are celebrating and worshiping a God who gave us life to get up this morning. So that's something worth celebrating. So feel free, worship freely.
And in other news, it is a huge joy for me to announce that we have officially made the move to Fond du Lac. So yesterday, everything got moved. It's nice to have family, except for our oldest son, who's in Air Force training right now, to have everyone together under the same roof, wake up and to not have a house echoing that's empty, it's got furniture in it. Also, some boxes absorbing, so a lot of unpacking to do, but at least everything is here, so glad to have that all behind us now. Many different meetings happening this week. Make sure you check the calendar of events for all the different team meetings that are happening. There's also on Thursday a presbytery meeting, so please be in prayer for the presbytery. That will be a Zoom meeting, but please keep the presbytery in your prayers there. And also on Thursday will be the baccalaureate service. 3 o'clock we will be hosting this year here. So please keep all the graduates in your prayers as well. Let us turn our hearts to God as the light of Christ is brought in and the bells are tolled as we begin to worship God.
Please join me in the call to worship. Sing aloud to God our strength. Shout for joy to the God of Jacob. Raise a song, sound the tambourine. Play sweet music with the harp. Hear, O my people, while I admonish you, if you would but listen to me. There shall be no strange God among you. You shall not bow down to a foreign God. I am the Lord your God. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. I would feed you the finest of the wheat, and with honey from the rock I would satisfy you. O God, we gather in your presence to praise your holy name. With songs on our lips and love in our hearts, we gather together because we find joy and love, peace and understanding among your people. We seek to serve and to glorify you, the only true God, three in one, in all we do and say. Teach us the way that we might go each day. Fill us with your Holy Spirit that we might know the comfort of your presence within us day and night. Confession. We cannot claim ignorance of our sins, for we know how we have not lived as God's people. But God refuses to forsake us, waiting to forgive us and call us as God's children. Please join me as we pray, saying, God of transformation, if we are to have any hope, we must face the reality of our lives, putting a name to our failings. You hand us a bouquet of gifts, but we let them wither by not placing them in your living water. You call us to speak out for those who live on the margins of our world, but we convince ourselves that silence is the best way to help them. Speak to us in our silence, so we may learn to offer you gifts for others. Please join me in a moment of silent confession to confess the sins in your hearts. Forgive us, God, so we may respond to your opportunities to serve your people. May the steadfast love of your Spirit teach us the new language of faith, so we might share our gifts with others, even as you have shared the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Hear these words of assurance. God delights in you so much that God will not rest until you are at peace. God will not remain silent, but will call you by name. God's steadfast love extends to the heavens and reaches down to touch our hearts. From God's heart to ours, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. The peace of Jesus Christ be with you. I invite you to share the peace of Christ with others gathered.
Psalm reading comes from 139, verses 1 through 6 and 13 through 18 in the Common English Bible. Lord, you have examined me. You know me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. Even from far away, you comprehend my plans. You study my traveling and resting. You are thoroughly familiar with all my ways. There isn't a word on my tongue, Lord, that you don't already know completely. You surround me, front and back. You put your hand on me. That kind of knowledge is too much for me. It's so high above me that I can't reach it. You are the one who created my innermost parts. You knit me together while I was still in my mother's womb. I give thanks to you that I was marvelously set apart. Your works are wonderful. I know that very well. My bones weren't hidden from you when I was being put together in a secret place, when I was being woven together in the deepest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my embryo, and on your scroll every day was written that was being formed for me before any one of them had yet happened. God, your plans are incomprehensible to me. Their total number is countless. If I tried to count them, they'd outnumber grains of sand. If I came to the very end, I'd still be with you.
Our second scripture reading today comes to us from the Apostle Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 through 12. Listen for the word of the Lord. We don't preach about ourselves. Instead, we preach about Jesus Christ as Lord, and we describe ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. God said that light should shine out of darkness. He is the same one who shone in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay pots so that the awesome power belongs to God and doesn't come from us. We are experiencing all kinds of trouble, but we aren't crushed. We are confused, but we aren't depressed. We are harassed, but we aren't abandoned. We are knocked down, but we aren't knocked out. We always carry Jesus' death around in our bodies so that Jesus' life can also be seen in our bodies. We who are alive are always being handed over to death for Jesus' sake, so that Jesus' life can be seen in our bodies that are dying. So death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Invite Jennifer.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward. And today you might want to sit closer because I have things to show you, but I can't really pass them around. So if you want to sit closer, you can. All right. So I brought, anybody know what this is? A pot. And you could say this is a clay pot, right? Do you eat breakfast out of a clay pot? No, I don't either. But I brought an old cup, or actually an old bowl. I wrapped it up quite a bit because sometimes our things get cracked or broken. And this was, I don't know if you've ever had alphabet soup, but when I was a kid, you could eat alphabet soup and then you could save some of the labels, and your mom could send it in, and then you could get your name in the middle. So this is mine with my name in the middle. And if you look really carefully, do you see some cracks in there? Yeah, and lots of chips, because it was well-loved and well-used. Yeah. And then I brought another something from my house, too. This is something I use all the time. I when my boys were little, they weren't able to use this very often, this one, because I was always afraid it was going to break, which is kind of silly because it just sits in my cupboard. But this also is in my cupboard. And do you see anything? Would you eat your cereal in this bowl? Why wouldn't you eat your cereal in this bowl? It looks like a good bowl. From far away, people can't see. Can you tell them what's with this bowl? There's a smile on it. It's a big hole in it. Yeah. So you wouldn't eat cereal in this bowl, would you? No. But it's a special bowl, and it separates eggs. You can ask your mom or grandma or dad about how you separate eggs from a smiley face bowl. But so it's a smiley face bowl, but we have all sorts of different kinds of things. And did you hear in the scripture today, it talked about clay pots? Why would we talk about clay pots? Well, just like most of the stories that we tell stories that use things that make sense to people. At that time, people used clay pots a lot. They were all over the place. People used them. And what happens with clay pots, just kind of like my dish here that breaks, when we have dishes like this at my house, do you ever clear the table? Do you get to take the dishes like this off the table? Or maybe do you take the silverware instead? We do that because sometimes they break. So clay pots were something that people used all the time. And that's why it made sense to talk about that. And it kind of reminds me of a story. And it's a story that is told all over the world in different ways. And the story is about a person. Sometimes it's a boy. Sometimes it's a mom. Sometimes it's a dad. And they are getting water from far away. And they have two clay pots. And my grandma actually did that sometimes, needed to go get water, walk a little bit, not too far, but walk a little bit to get water and bring it back to the house. So the story goes that the person or the boy had two clay pots, one on one side, one on the other, and they carried them together. And every day they would go back and forth and carry the water and bring the water back. Well, one day, one of the pots was a little sad. And said, I just don't do a very good job at this. I have a crack in the bottom, and every time we get back, only half of the water's inside. I'm just not doing a very good job. And the boy said, but you didn't see what was happening. Every time as I walked back, little dribbles of water dropped along the way and watered all of the seeds and the flowers on the one side. You brought beautifulness to my walk each day. I could smell the flowers and I could see the beauty. So sometimes our pots get kind of broken. And that's when the love of God gets to show. The treasure that's inside is the love that God gives to us. The story of Jesus, God's word, and God's love is the treasure that we hold. And sometimes we think, ugh, I have some broken parts. I'm not very good at that. I don't know if I could do that. But God has those things for us so that we can share the love. And you know what? Sometimes those cracks help us share that love in a much better way. So if you are eating breakfast in a clay pot or in a bowl or even in a bowl without a hole in it, I want you to think about, what kind of clay pot are you? How are you sharing God's love? Because the way that we share God's love, the way that we show God's love is through us, through the things we do and the things we say. So the world sees God's love in the things that we do. So I want you to think this week about how you are sharing God's love. All right, let's take a little time and let's talk a little bit with God about those things. Loving and gracious God, we thank you for the gifts that you give to us each and every day. We know that sometimes we don't even know what those gifts are, but we thank you so much that you give those to us. We ask that you would help us to find new ways to reach out to others, to share your love, to share your word. We thank you for the people that you put into our lives that help us learn more about you and more about your love. And we ask that you would be helping us to just to see those that love in others as well. See the love that they can give to us. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, just as you care for all of the flowers, the weeds, the fields, you care for us, you water, you nourish. May your word nourish us in spirit today. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our heart, be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, it's that time of the year. Graduation for high school is coming up. Some schools have already graduated. It's that time of the year. Graduation. Some students are launching out, trying to find new jobs for a new career post-school. Some are coming back home, trying to find summer employment, be able to pay for school, to have some fun. There's many different types of interviews that you have to go through. Probably all experienced different job interviews, and some maybe are a little more enjoyable than others. Some are really kind of bizarre, and you walk away from them going, what just happened? It's interesting to hear some of those awkward questions that candidates get asked once in a while. There's a newer pastoral candidate that was just asked a question recently by a pastor nominating committee at a Presbyterian church. And the pastor's like, why? What? I don't get this. The question was, if you were a dinosaur, what dinosaur would you be and why? There were all sorts of, you know, interesting comments in this thread online about, you know, why, as Presbyterians, they might ask about being a dinosaur. But those little tidbits aside, the reality is it was more than likely a chance to see, how does this candidate react to an unexpected situation? How well do they think quickly on their feet? It's probably just one of those unique questions that they had a purpose for. There are many different questions that get tossed out like this. One of the questions that get asked quite commonly, what are your strengths and what are your weaknesses? And most people, you know, don't really mind sharing their strengths. They know what the job is that they're applying for, and, well, here are my strengths for this job, but the weaknesses, the younger a person is, or even sometimes throughout life, it's hard to say, here are my weaknesses. It's often used as a question to assess where your self-awareness is. Are you aware of the weaknesses that you have? None of us are perfect. None of us can do everything. We all have weaknesses. What are those weaknesses, and how does that impact you? Are you at least aware of them so it doesn't impact everybody else around you? It's a good strategy to ask for that one. So someone might, you know, be able to answer a question like that. Well, my greatest weakness is patience. But rather than allowing my impatience to become troublesome for everybody, I've learned to find some positive, lighthearted ways that I can name that to my coworkers, and they realize, okay, I'm quite impatient, and they know that, we have the conversations, and it actually motivates everybody. And just by naming that, we can all get a whole lot more done. I kind of turn it into a way of being able to motivate those who are around me. Now, a good HR person, they may like that one, but they may also see through it and go, yeah, that doesn't match up with all the reference checks that we did on you, and you had that answer well rehearsed, that's not you. Whatever the case may be. We get asked those weird questions. But no matter what, we need to embrace our weaknesses. And that means we need to become aware of them first. Sometimes that's hard. Now, in the case of that new pastoral candidate being asked, what's your favorite dinosaur and why? If their weakness was, in fact, being able to think quickly on their feet, they might want to just name that and kind of turn that into some sort of way of gaining some more dialogue. You know, just to say, wow, I wasn't really expecting that question. Honestly, I'm not great coming up with perfect answers right on the cuff. I like to think about it just a little bit, and honestly, I'm having trouble thinking of anything other than a T-Rex right now, and my arms aren't short enough to be a T-Rex, so what are some other dinosaur names? And then there's different names about, oh, Brontosaurus, oh, that's a great one. Yeah, you know, I don't think they were meat eaters, were they? So, you know, they probably didn't get into fights and with the other dinosaurs, so maybe that's like me. I'd maybe be a Brontosaurus, because I don't eat up everybody else around me, you know? Then again, I don't really like salads, but, you know, could find a way to engage with that. But to name it, that's a weakness of mine. Help me out. And they might turn that into a positive way. Sometimes, though, there are those weaknesses that we have that they're just there. And for most of us, growing up, it was not part of society for us to admit openly our weaknesses. Fortunately, that stigma is fading away more and more, and we're able to name some of our weaknesses, some of those imperfections. We don't need to have such a fake persona. We don't need to wear that mask and pretend like we have everything together. We can say, yeah, you know what? I really struggle with this, but I'm aware of it and I'm working on it. Even though it's changing, it's hard for us to admit our weaknesses. We need to have a safe space, and in our society, naming our weakness or perceived weakness, we can often get attacked. The church should be the one safe place where we can gather together and trust one another enough to be able to say, you know what? I messed up. I really am terrible at this. I need some help. And we work together. Now, in naming our weaknesses, I'm not advocating, you know, for that type of naming weaknesses as some sort of excuse. Well, you know, I'm no good at public speaking, but I still want to be hired as the pastor of your church, and I'm just going to, you know, I'll write sermons, but somebody else is going to have to preach them for me. No, that doesn't really work out. What I'm talking about today is actually the opposite. Embracing the weaknesses as a unique quality that's actually helpful. So if, in fact, a pastor didn't like public speaking, and there are quite a few who are out there that God has called into ministry, and they detest public speaking. In the midst of that imperfection, God uses them, and people can see their anxiety and realize, wow, if they can do that, I can do. For me, I have wrestled with God ever since I was about 18 years old and felt that first call into ministry. I'm terrible remembering names. I get even my own family names mixed up once in a while. I'll look at someone that I should know their name and total blank. Been that way since forever. Takes me a little while before I can pull it out. Why, God? Why did you call me into ministry? Names are important. I know that. And I mess them up all the time. And I hurt people unintentionally. That is a weakness that I have. And yet, God uses that. I can name the fact that, yeah, names are important. And I can apologize and say, I messed up on your name. I'm sorry. And cultivate a deeper relationship through that. Embracing our weakness can be helpful. And that's what this passage today, this text today, the Apostle Paul, he gives us a brief description about where our weaknesses, our strengths in God's eyes, for the purpose of furthering God's kingdom. The Apostle Paul gives us a brief description of what being united with the death and life of Jesus the Messiah means for how we experience our shared life together. And he does it through weaknesses that apparently were being used against him by other people, that other people were trying to undermine Paul's ministry. In 2 Corinthians 10:10, he writes, I know what some people are saying. His letters are severe and powerful, but in person, he's weak and his speech is worth nothing. And Paul, in response, says pretty clearly in our opening verse for today, we don't preach about ourselves. Instead, we preach about Jesus Christ as Lord, and we describe ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. And then he goes on to describe what this looks like in reality. And I think when we read through the gospel, sometimes it becomes a little too familiar, or we hear it in a larger context, and we just kind of gloss over it. This text, I think, hits us differently when we pull out the descriptive words that Paul used and hear them as if they were requirements, say, for church membership. They didn't necessarily have church membership back then, but if we were to use that, here are the requirements. Experiencing trouble, confused, harassed, and knocked down. How would you like that for membership? That's our new membership class. Give us the ways, four different things, ways that you have been in experiencing trouble, that you've been confused, you've been harassed, and you've been knocked down for the sake of the kingdom. If you can name those, okay, then we'll let you be a member. Maybe we should do that every Sunday coming in. That should be an entrance thing. So in this past week, maybe we put that as one of the ponderings beforehand. In the past week, where have you been experiencing trouble? That's not what our society wants us to say. The Apostle Paul gives us an explanation of why these really should be some requirements, some expectations. He says, we are experiencing all kinds of trouble, but we aren't crushed. We are confused, but we aren't depressed. We are harassed, but we aren't abandoned. We are knocked down, but we aren't knocked out. You see, what Paul is saying is that the real power is in the message, not the messenger. It's not about Paul. It's not about any of the other disciples, any of the other ministers. The messengers are just common, ordinary, everyday human vessels. Just like Jennifer said in the children's moment, a clay pot would have been for the people of his time. But God put the treasure of the gospel in human containers, ordinary vessels like Paul, the disciples, like you and I, with a purpose. That purpose is to show that the treasure of the gospel is not based on you or I. Praise be to God. No, the treasure of the gospel is not about us. We are simply disposable clay pots. Clay pots designed for that purpose of carrying the treasure of the gospel. Just as Jennifer mentioned, the bowl with the smile was for separating eggs, not for eating cereal. It has a special purpose to it. Each one of us, as the psalmist wrote, is formed uniquely, with a unique purpose. How do we know what it is that we're to do and what our gifts are? It's said that when Francis of Assisi was asked how he was able to accomplish so much, his answer was, "Well, this may be why. The Lord looked down from heaven and said, 'Where can I find the weakest, littlest man on earth?' Then he saw me and said, 'Ah, I've found him, and he won't be proud of it. He'll see that I'm only using him because of his insignificance.'" He was humble. He understood the fact that he was just an ordinary vessel, broken, clay pot. We are to embrace our weakness so that the power of God can be made visible in our lives. As I said, that's not the message the world tells us. And too many pastors, too many churches, over the past several decades especially, have really bought into church growth and worldly ways of business models of leadership, rather than really focusing on God's glory, so that God might be made visible, and that we might become more and more invisible. I believe this is the message that hits home with people today, and it's what gives us hope. We need to learn what it means to embrace our weaknesses in a way that allows God's glory to be seen in spite of us. So to illustrate this, the Apostle Paul uses the analogy of clay pots holding a great treasure. In today's world, we might say we're just leftover dishes. You know, those little plastic leftover dishes that are scattered all over in cupboards and get some stains on them, they crack easily, whatever, they're kind of cheap. When you're hungry, it really doesn't matter what that leftover dish is. It may be plastic, ceramic, copper, could be gold-plated. What matters most is the food inside the container. Now, granted, some containers may have an impact on the quality of the food in it and all of that. That could be another analogy we could dig into for another sermon, but still, the most important thing is the food inside. That's what really matters. That's where we get the nourishment. University Press commentary says this about this passage: "The marvel of Paul's statement is not to be overlooked. The gospel minister," which that includes all Christians, "the gospel minister is a vessel made of common, run-of-the-mill clay, fragile and easily broken, and yet God has entrusted the treasure of the gospel to such a vessel, just as Palestinians stored their valuables in common clay pots. Why does God do this? According to Paul, he does it to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. God uses what is fragile and yet serviceable so that there might be no mistaking the origin of the gospel minister's power." Today, we will be sharing Holy Communion, this Eucharistic meal that we are about to share. really doesn't depend on the containers. The containers may have a little bit of a different impact based on our previous experience and our traditions. But yet, it doesn't really matter if they're silver, if they're brass, if they're clay. What's important is what's inside and the meaning of it. I mean, we could use plastic cups and paper plates. And this holy meal would still be holy because of the mystery of Christ's presence as we share a common meal of remembering Christ ministering to his disciples as they shared that Last Supper together. What's most important for us from today's scripture text is being able to name our weaknesses in a way that our shared life together carries within it the experiences of being united with the death and life of Jesus. The treasure of the gospel is being united with the death and life of Jesus in order that we might experience the treasure of resurrection moments. Hinting back to an earlier sermon and those little death moments of life, where we need to allow that death to be embraced and to bring forth new life. We have this treasure in clay pots in ourselves, in the everyday, ordinary way that we live our life together, so that the awesome power belongs to God, and we can't claim the glory for it. All we can do is to say, yes, this is all because of God, in spite of who I am. May we continue to glean this treasure and to allow this treasure to be seen so that all might know that the power belongs to God and that we are simply clay pots, simple, common, ordinary vessels sharing the love and forgiveness of Christ with a world that needs it. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. May the song of response be prayer of our heart. Change my heart, O God, so that we might be those vessels that God's treasure might be seen. Stand as we affirm the faith of our baptism as written in the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit, and the Virgin Mary and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. I invite you to be seated as the ushers come forward to gather God's tithes and our offering. Gifts that we bring to you as thanks, a portion of that which you have entrusted to us. We offer back our very selves, Lord, that you may use us as vessels to be able to hold and to communicate and to share the treasure of your gospel to all those that you place within our path. Bless these gifts and multiply them for the furthering of your kingdom. Amen. You may be seated as we prepare our hearts. to celebrate this holy meal. Invite the servers to come and to set the table as we sing together, "All who hunger, gather gladly." This table is not the Presbyterian table. It's not even the church's table. This is the Lord's table. This meal is open to all who believe in Jesus Christ. Today we will be again sharing by intinction. We will have servers stationed at the front, serving the outer two sections first, and then ushers will escort you out of the pews to come down the center aisle to return by the outside. If you would like all of the bread that is here is gluten-free. If you would prefer to have an individual prepackaged communion element, those will be available both here at the front. And also, if you prefer to remain seated, simply raise your hand, get the attention. Orv and Gail will be coming around, bringing communion to those in the pews. Let us offer a great prayer of thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, eternal God, our Creator. You have given us life in your Spirit. Once we were no people, but now we are your people. You claimed Israel as your chosen nation and raised up a church as a witness to the resurrection, breathing into it your life and power. From worlds apart, you gather us together. When we go astray, you welcome us home. Your love is always steadfast. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. In love with you and compassion for all, Jesus healed and taught, challenged and comforted, welcomed and saved. He formed a community, promising to be with his disciples wherever two or more were gathered.
and sending them out in mission of hope and healing in the world. Jesus trusted his life to you and went freely to death so that the world might be set free from suffering and sin. You raised him from death and raise us also to live a new life with him. In the power of your Holy Spirit, you send us out to make disciples as he commanded. Remembering all your mighty and merciful acts, we take this bread and this cup, the gifts that you have given to us, and celebrate with joy the redemption won for us in Jesus Christ. Accept this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, as a living and holy offering of ourselves, that our lives may proclaim the one crucified and risen. Glorious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, upon these gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break, the cup we pour, may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, unite us with the living Christ, with all who are baptized in his name, that we may be one in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. We lift up all of those that weigh heavy on our hearts, those who are in the midst of war, those who are in the midst of all sorts of divisions, those who are going through dark valleys of loss, of uncertainty, those who are in the midst of medical conditions, those who are embarking on the unknown. We lift up to you all those who need your hope. May we be able to be your vessels, sharing your hope in all that we do. We ask these things through Christ, with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, be glory now and forevermore. Amen. Now, lifting our voices together, we pray the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. On the night that Jesus was crucified, he gathered with his disciples, and he shared his holy meal. Taking the bread, he blessed God, gave thanks, and he broke it, and said, "This is my body. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, after the meal, he took the cup. Again, he blessed God, gave thanks, and said, "This cup is the cup of the new covenant, my blood shed for the forgiveness of sins. Take, drink, do this in remembrance of me." As often as we share this bread and this cup, we do proclaim Christ's death until he comes again in final glory. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. I invite the servers come forward to be served so that you might serve all of God's ministers. Bread of life, the cup of salvation. Let us pray. Gracious God, may we who have received this sacrament live in the unity of your Holy Spirit. Show forth your gifts to all the world. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to stand for our sending hymn, Lord, the light of your love.
Jesus.
you to the impromptu percussion section. Except, Dan, we need more cowbell. Had to fit that in. Sisters and brothers, as we go out into the world, those common vessels carrying the treasure of the gospel, go forth with forgiveness and grace. Go forth with compassion and love. Go forth as the household of ministry for all the world to see. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Encore.